Today we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 87, the prayers of the personified Vedas, text 24. Before we start the class, I want to say something. In the Guru Puja song, many devotees sing wrongly. It's Lokana Loke Rajivana. And many of them, you sing Lokenat. Who sings Lokenat? Instead of Lokanat. So you look at the song, it's Lokanat, L-O-K-A. And Lokanat Loke Rajivana. But many devotees are singing Lokenat Loke Rajivana. No difference? Yeah. Anyway. Please correct that. So text 24. This is challenging. Ka ihanu vedavata vara janmala yograsaram. Kai hanu vedabata vara janmalayo grasaram. Yatta udagat rishiyam anudevagana ubaye. Yatta udagat rishiyam anudevagana ubaye. Tahina sanna cha sat ubayam na cha kala java. Tahina sanna cha sat ubayam na cha kala java. Kimmapina tatra shasram navakrishya sayita yada. Kimmapina tatra shasram navakrishya sayita yada. Kai hanu vedabata varajanmalayo grasaram. Yatta udagat rishiyam anudevaganas ubaye. Tahina sanna cha sat ubayam na cha kala java. Kimapitna tatra shasram avakrishya sayita yada. Wants to try. In this world, no, indeed, Veda knows, Pata Avara recent, Janma whose birth, Laya and annihilation, Agrasaram. Who came first? Yatha, from whom? Udagat arose. Rishi, the learned sage. Brahma, Yamanu, following whom? Brahma, Devagana, the groups of demigods. Ubaye, both. Those who control the senses. And those who live in the regions above the heavenly planets. Tahi, at that time, na, no, sat, gross matter, na, no, cha, also, asat, subtle matter. Upayam, that which is comprised of both, namely the material bodies. Nacha, nor. Kala, of time. Java, the flow. Kim apina, none at all. Tatra, there. Shastram, authoritative scripture. Avakrishya, withdrawing. Sayita, the Supreme Lord, lies down. Yada, when? Translation. Everyone in this world has recently been born and will soon die. So how can anyone here know him who existed prior to everything else and who gave rise to the first learned sage, Brahma, and all subsequent demigods, both lesser and greater? When he lies down and withdraws everything within himself, nothing else remains. No gross or subtle matter or body is composed of this. No force of time or revealed scripture. Purport. Here the Shrutis express the difficulty of knowing the Supreme. Devotional service of Bhakti Yoga, as described in these prayers of the personified Vedas, is the surest and easiest path to knowledge of the Lord and to liberation. In comparison, the philosophic search for knowledge, known as Jnana Yoga, is very difficult, favored though it is by those who are disgusted with material life, but still unwilling to surrender to the Lord. As long as the finite soul remains envious of the Lord's supremacy, the Lord does not reveal himself. As it states in Bhagavad Gita, Naham prakasya savasya yogamaya samarita mudayam nabijanati lokamam majamavayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. And in the words of Lord Brahma, Pantastukoti satavasara sampragam yo vayo atapi manaso munipungavanam sopyasiyat prapadasimya vichinjatatve govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the Premier Lord, only at the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis, who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayam by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis who search out the undifferentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane, extending over thousands of millions of years. Brahma, the firstborn living being in this universe, is also the foremost sage. He is born from Lord Narayan, and from him appear the hosts of demigods, including both the controllers of earthly activities and the rulers of heaven. All these powerful and intelligent beings are relatively recent productions of the Lord's creative energy. As the first speaker of the Vedas, Lord Brahma should know their purport at least as well as any other authority. But even he knows the personality of Godhead only to a limited extent. As Srimad Bhagavatam states, Veda Guyani Ritpate, the Lord of the heart hides himself deep within the confidential recesses of the Vedic sound. If Brahma and the demigods born from him cannot easily know the Supreme Lord, how then can mere mortals expect success in their independent pursuit of knowledge? As long as this creation lasts, living beings face many obstacles on the path of knowledge. Because of identifying themselves with their material coverings, consisting of body, mind and ego, they acquire all sorts of prejudices and misconceptions. Even if they have the divine scripture to guide them and the opportunity to execute the prescribed methods of karma, jnana and yoga, the conditioned souls have but the power for gaining knowledge of the Absolute. And when the time of annihilation comes, the Vedic scriptures and their regulative injunctions become unmanifest, leaving the dormant jivas completely in darkness. Therefore, we should abandon our futile endeavors for knowledge without devotion, and simply surrender ourselves to the Supreme Lord's mercy, heeding the advice of Lord Brahma. Gyanne prayasam upadasya damanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vatam sane sita shruti gatam tanuvan manobi ye prayaso chitta jito vyasita thai trilokyam. Those who, even after remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge, and with their body, words, and mind, offer all respects to the descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. In this regard, the Taittiriya Upanishad refers to the Supreme as Yato Vacho Nivattante Apraptya Manasa Saha, where words cease and where the mind cannot reach. The Isham Upanishad states, Anejat Ekam Manaso Javiyo Naitat Deva Adnuvan Puvam Masat Tattavato yanna yati tisat tasmin napo matarishva dadati. Although fixed in his abode, the personality of Godhead is more swift than the mind and can overcome all other running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him. Although in one place, he controls those who supply the air and rain. He surpasses all in existence, excellence. And in the Rig Veda, we find this mantra, Koda Vida Kaiha Pravochat Kuta Ayata Kutai Yamvasti Vasristi Avadeva Visajanina Tako Vedayata Ababuva. Who in this world actually knows, and who can explain, whence this creation has come? The demigods, after all, are younger than the creation. Who then can tell where this world has come into being? Śrīla Swami thus prays, Kvāham buddhyādi samruddha kvācā bhūman mahastava dīna bandho daya sindho bhakti-meni hare disha. What am I, a being entrapped by the material coverings of worldly intelligence and so on? And what are your glories by comparison, O Almighty One? O Friend of the Fallen, O Ocean of Mercy, Lord Nirhari, please bless me with your devotional service. Pretty substantial. Third point. Kai hanu vedabhata vara janmalayo grasaram yata udaga rishiyam manu devagana ubaye tahi nasan nacha sad ubayam nacha kala java kim apina tatra shasram avakrishya sayita vayada. Translation again. Everyone in this world has recently been born and will soon die. So how can anyone here know him who existed prior to everything else and who gave rise to the first learner stage, Brahma, and all subsequent demigods, both lesser and greater? When he lies down and withdraws everything within himself, nothing else remains. No gross or subtle matter or body is composed of this. No force of time or review scriptures. Om magyana timrandasya gananjana salakaya shakshamalitam yena tasmai shri garave namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasaya patale shrimati bhakti vidanta swami niti namine namaste sarasati devi gauravani picharine nivisesa sunyavadi vasichade shatarine. So in this verse, the personified Vedas very clearly denounce the modern-day speculators, the so-called scientists and astronomers of this world, who have the audacity, despite their puny brains, to make claims about the nature of the creation or how the world was created. So many speculations how the world was created from the first, the Big Bang, and then they talk about the infinite point where everything emanates and so on and so forth. But as stated here, how do they know? They were not there. They were not there at the time of creation. So how did they know how things were created? It's all due on the mental speculation. It's just like in a crime scene, when the police or detective come to a crime scene, they look for evidences. And usually, in fact, quite a number of crimes they don't solve. Many of the crimes are not solved. Because they were not there. And usually, they manage to solve the crime because of weaknesses. Very often. And they try to trace back for example, if it's a murder case, who does this person know? And they trace back, they interview all these people, they try to find the motivation. Is there any motivation for killing? And most of the time, these cases are solved because some weaknesses appear. Oh, I saw it. That's why very often when you read the news, if there's some robberies or some murder cases or some accident, they ask, in the end of the article, they write, if there are any eyewitnesses, please contact the phone number and please contact the police. They depend on these weaknesses. So who was there at the time of creation? How do we know? The creation. We cannot even try to imagine how things were created. What to say of trying to understand the nature of the Supreme. Therefore, it's very appropriate this mention also Lord Brahma, the first learned sage, the first created being. When Lord Brahma appeared first on this lotus, on this stem emanating from Garbhodasya Vishnu, he also tried to find out the source of his creation by his own endeavor. Now you have to bear in mind that Lord Brahma is the most intelligent living being in the universe. His body is made of pure intelligence. Japanda Maharshi once told a story about one yogi. He was performing very severe austerity to gain some benediction from Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma appeared, said, "My dear devotee, what can I do for you?" And this yogi said, "I want to perceive things the way that you perceive things. I want to see things the way you perceive the world." And Lord Brahma said, "I don't think that's a very good request. Please ask something else." But this yogi was very insistent. And insistent, he said, "Well, you ask for it." And he gave the blessing, and this yogi just, brain just exploded. He couldn't handle it. That's why our Lord Brahma needs four heads. So with his one head, he couldn't handle it. Lord Brahma is made of intelligence, his body, just like earthly, our body is mostly water and earth elements. So other bodies, there's a place, one of the planets, was it? Jupiter, where the inhabitants are mainly fire, and they move around, it's like lightning. So different living beings, the composition of the body, although it's all made of the eight material elements, are different compositions. So Lord Brahma's composition is mainly intelligence. And with his intelligence, he tried to find the source of his creation. He looked around, but everywhere was just darkness, complete darkness. There was nothing at that time. No sun, no moon, nothing, absolute nothing. And he climbed down the stem of the lotus to try to find the source. And he kept climbing and climbing, but he could not reach the end of it. Got tired and came back. Sat down on the lotus. And like the Bible says, in the beginning there was a word. So in the beginning there was a sound. So Lord Brahma heard the sound. Two syllables. Tapa. And being very intelligent, to understand. So I should perform austerities. Somehow he knew what to do. He performed austerities for a long time. And by performing that austerity, Krishna became pleased and appeared before him. In fact, he was so pleased with Lord Brahma, he shook his hand. He said, I'm very pleased by your austerity. And Krishna revealed himself to him and also gave him instruction. So you see, in this case, even Lord Brahma, so intelligent being, he could not try to fathom the cause of his creation, how where he came from, the nature of the universe. He dare not claim that he knows Krishna. Although once he was a bit, he came to see Krishna in Dwarka, and he was stopped by the doorkeeper, saying, "Krishna is busy at the moment. Who are you? You want to see?" So he go and tell Krishna, Brahma has come to see him. So they went in, told Krishna, said, Brahma has come to see you. Brahma, Krishna said, you go back and ask, which Brahma? So the doorkeeper came back and said, Krishna is asking, which Brahma are you? And Brahma thought, what do you mean, which Brahma? Don't you see, I have four heads on my shoulder? Then there's four heads of Brahma, the father of the Kumaras. So the doorkeeper came back, told Krishna, I say he's the four-head of Brahma, the creator of the universe. Now Lord Brahma said, the creator of the universe. So Krishna just smiled, said, okay, please bring him in. So Lord Brahma came into the assembly and Krishna received him very well and said, oh my dear Brahma, what can I do for you? Lord Brahma said, before I ask, I'm just curious about something. Now you told the doorkeeper to ask me which Brahma. Is there by any chance there are more than one Brahma? And Krishna just called all the Brahmas from all the different universes. And they all came. Some Brahmas has 10 heads, 100 heads, 1,000 heads, 1,000,000 heads. Don't try to speculate how those heads fit on the shoulder. Somehow they managed to fit there. And when they all bow down, you can imagine the tumultuous sound it makes when the helmet hits the ground with all these heads clashing. And Lord Brahma, just this tiny little Lord Brahma standing there. Then he became very humbled and he made the same. He said, someone may claim that they know Krishna, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't know anything. They can make whatever claims they want, but as far as I'm concerned, I do not know. This is the attitude. And in fact, the more one knows about Krishna, the more he realizes, actually, I do not really know. There's so little that I know. It's only those who don't have much knowledge. They know just a little bit and they think, I know so much. Who can actually claim that, oh, I know Krishna? Because Krishna is inconceivable. His qualities, his name, his pastimes, everything about him is ever expanding. How can one claim that he knows everything about Krishna? That's why sometimes it's very amusing, especially new people when they come and they argue, they say, yeah, I know. I know God, I'm in union with God, I talk to God. Just like this famous book, Conversation with God. You heard of this book? It became a big seller, Conversation with God. They even make a movie out of it. It's about this guy who was somehow got, with his luck or whatever, he lost his job and everything. He became homeless. When I became homeless, he was living in a homeless park, picking trashes and all that. And then somehow, suddenly, he just had some revelation and started speaking, got to know someone, and he started speaking about his conversations with God and became a great speaker and an author and became very famous. His book became a big seller. So much so that it was even made into a movie in his life. But later on, it turned out that he was just a fake. He was just a fake, and everyone was just taken by all the things he said. But we can know and understand from the Shastra that anyone can make any claims they want. But we have to see what is their life, what is their qualification, actually, that they are able to be in touch with the super soul, or that God appeared before them to tell them something. What is their qualification? Why would Krishna do that? Why would Krishna just appear before just anyone? He will only confuse things. Although Krishna, he can do anything he wants. He's Swarat, he's independent. He can appear anytime, any way he wants. But he already given the scriptures. So he subjects himself according to the scripture, in order not to create any confusion. Otherwise, he gave in the scripture, I will appear at this particular time, at this particular place, this is what I do. And to exercise his independence, he just ignored it. Then there will be so much confusion. So by mental speculation, this yogis, they will not get anywhere. It's just like chasing the tail. Because their mental speculation can bring them as far as the ability of their mind and their intelligence, which is very limited in comparison to what is out there in the universe. Doesn't matter how intelligent one is, it is still very, very limited capacity. Therefore, this endeavor of trying to understand the nature of creation, to understand the nature of Krishna, is a futile attempt by the mundane speculators or the materialists. There's so much speculation going on out there. Just like the other day, I was speaking to someone in Crossway. He asked me, I got a question. Can I ask you one question? I said, all right. You already asked. That was the question. So anyway, that was a joke. He asked, he said, you know, you're like preaching and telling people to chant Hare Krishna, giving prasadam and telling philosophy, but they are coming from such sinful backgrounds. They're meat eaters, they're drunkards, and blah, 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 so many things. So just by doing that, how can they actually get the mercy of Krishna and become properly situated? How is it possible? It's not possible. Even in India, the pure brahmanas, there are certain class of brahmanas, they won't even allow anyone to touch them because they're so pure. They won't allow you to even touch them. So therefore, he said, therefore it's not possible to just be able to become Krishna conscious just because of all this, if they're coming from such sinful backgrounds. It is the same example when there were two sannyasis, ISKCON sannyasis, they were traveling and they came to this temple. And they were having darshan. For a long time, they were having darshan, offering prayers to the deities. And the pujari noticed it. Noticed that their devotion in having darshan of the deities. So after the artik and everything, he came out and he gave them blessings. He said, I bless you that you take birth as in a brahmana family or in next life. So they came back, was it brahmana family or Hindus or something? Brahmana family, I think. So they came back and they told Prabhupada, and Prabhupada just laughed. Prabhupada had a good laugh. And then Prabhupada told the story of how there was this one lady in a village. And magistrate of the district came to the village, and this lady, he had some dispute with someone. So she brought the problem to the magistrate, and everything was resolved in her favor. And she became so pleased with the magistrate, she said, "I bless you that you become a constable." So for her in the village, the highest position is a constable in the village. That was the highest position. They have no idea that there's anything higher than that. So sometimes these smarters, or so-called Hindus, they think highest position is the Brahmana. They cannot understand anything beyond that. So I was explaining to this person. I said that, why do you say like that? Whenever he come up with his statements, I always ask him, where is it stated in the Shastra? And he can never quote any Shastra to back up. He always say, you know, I'm from India. I know everything. That's the only Shastra he can quote. I'm from India. I know everything. And you are not from India. You don't know anything. So, I say, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's known as Patita Pavan, deliverer of the most fallen. I gave the example of Jagan Madai. They were such fallen, not such debauches. Any imaginable crime or sinful activity they have done. So much so that when they were liberated, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liberated them at the pleading of Lord Nityananda, the news came to Yamaloka, and news was brought to Yamaraj. Do you know what? It's Jaga and Madai, which we have prepared a very nice reception for them here at Yamaloka. Now they've been liberated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Yamaraj heard that, he fell into a swoon. He fell into a complete ecstasy. And then asked why. He said, "We just called the treasurer of it and then look at the list." It was a long list. It was a long printout of all the sinful activities that they performed. And just by one stroke of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were delivered. So how can they say that, you know, oh, from this background, that background, where is it supported by the Shastra? In fact, in the Bhagavatam is stated that all these Hunna, Karinda, all these people from all the different regions of the world, sinful religions of the world, they can all be delivered by the mercy of the holy name of Krishna. Otherwise, where's the hope for anyone at all? So actually, it is all a matter of mercy, costless mercy. It is not by our physical ability, it is not by our mental prowess or intellectual prowess or great abilities that we can understand the spiritual science. That is already shown by the example of Lord Brahma. It's just not possible. It's beyond the capacity of our mundane senses, mind, and intelligence. In fact, Arjuna. Arjuna, who is closer to Krishna than Arjuna? Arjuna was Krishna's friend. Yet, he said, "I don't understand. You please instruct me." And when he wanted to see the form of Krishna, Krishna's the universal form, Krishna said, "You cannot see with your present eyes. I will give you the vision by which you can see me." So only one who is endowed with the vision, Primanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Shanta Shadaiva Vidaye Vilokayanti Yam Shyama Sundaram Achinche Guna Sarupam Govinda Mati Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So only one whose eyes is anointed with the love, with prema, with love of Krishna, will he be able to see Shyama Sundar standing there in his threefold bending form with the flute in his hand. Therefore, in the beginning of the purport, it's stated that You see, here the Shrutis express the difficulty of knowing the Supreme. Devotional service of Bhakti Yoga, as described in these prayers of the personified Vedas, is the surest and easiest path to knowledge of the Lord and to liberation. Not by calm, not by jnana, or not even by yoga, but it is through bhakti. Bhakti amam abhijanati yau nyashasmitadvata. Only by the process of devotional service can I be known as I am. And it doesn't matter what path one may follow, ultimately he always have to come to the point of bhakti. That's why Prabhupada explained the bhakti yoga process is like the elevator. Straight away it goes up to the top floor rather than going up through the stairs. And otherwise, one is just keep searching and searching and searching. How many lifetimes one will have to search? Bahunam jamanam ante gyanavan man prapajyate vasudeva swamiti samahatma sudulabha. Bahunam janma. After many, many births of searching and searching, 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 trying this path, trying that path, he still have to come to the same conclusion. Vasudeva swamiti. That Vasudeva is the cause of all causes. Unless and until one comes to this conclusion, his knowledge is incomplete. It doesn't matter how many titles he has in front and behind his name. Some people are very proud of all the titles behind the name. It doesn't matter. Whatever the knowledge is nothing but just a small fragment, a part of the whole creation. Especially nowadays, there are people that specialize in certain things. The body is such a complex body, but they may specialize in just one particular aspect of it. And they're known a great expertise. Even doctors, right? They have the general practitioners, then you have the specialists. My friend is a ear doctor. They specialize in the ears and nose. They're all connected with that. Others, they specialize in the heart. Or they specialize in this and that and so many. But this is just a tiny, tiny little aspect of the whole creation. They cannot claim they know everything. How can they? So after so many lifetimes of searching and searching, they come to the same conclusion that the devotees have already come to. By reading Bhagavad Gita. Bhavanam jamanam ante gyanam patya vasudeva savamiti samahatma sudulabha. One who comes to that conclusion that Vasudeva is the cause of all causes, he is a real Mahatma. And it's very rare, sudulabha. Such a soul is very rare for someone to come to that conclusion. Normally people like things to be complicated. That's the nature of the mind. That's the nature of the modern day society. Everything has to be complicated. You cannot do anything simple anymore. Everything has to be complicated. And you present everything very simple to someone that says, this cannot be the topmost. This cannot be the real deal. Because it's too simple. Too simple to understand. Just like when I first met Devamrita Maharaj in Auckland after a long time. We had a long chat about so many different things. Then I just revealed to him my kind of conclusion or realization of the special contribution or special nature of Srila Prabhupada's contribution. That generally you have to know so much, you have to get into the leelas and so many things. It's the process can be pretty complex. But Prabhupada gave us such a special dispensation that just chant Hare Krishna, follow your principles, guarantee you go back to Godhead. And I said that this is a special deal that Prabhupada has made with Krishna. Do you want me to go down and preach? You have to make this special deal. If they just do this, pass. And I say it's such a simple. And Maharaj say, simple? Chanting Hare Krishna, simple? Then it make me think again. Yeah, it may seem simple. What's so difficult about that? 16 syllables, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any child can chant. Anyone can chant. Anyone who has a tongue can vibrate and chant. But for someone to actually take it up seriously, to chant, and chant without offenses, is a whole lifetime of practice. So it is very simple on one hand, but on the other hand, it's the most advanced form of yogic practice. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So just by reading Bhagavad Gita, one can actually come to the conclusion of the nature of this world, who Krishna is, and by putting into practice the yoga, bhakti yoga, then one can actually get to realize who Krishna is. The process is not complicated. It's quite simple. It's quite straightforward. Yeah. Prabhupada often say, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple-minded and complicated for the complicated-minded. We can make it very, very simple, or we can make it very complicated. Just like the gopis in Vrindavan, they are basically very simple, cowherd girls, no complication. But they just simply just love Krishna. But for us, the way we brought up, you just love Krishna, it's very difficult to do. No, we have to know this, we have to know that, we have to know so many things. And to back up, why should I love Krishna? Why this, why that? So many questions we have to ask. All this knowledge, all this philosophy is there for us to deepen our understanding. Because you have to understand everything before we do anything. But otherwise, if one is just simple and just accept, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead, let me just serve and surrender to Him. That's enough. But because we are not so simple, all this knowledge is there to help us come to the point of understanding. And then you're known as a Mahatma. You come to that conclusion. What does a Mahatma do? Satatam kitayanto mam yatantasya dhritarata nama shantasya mam nicham tu shanti chara manticha. No, not the last line. Nama shantasya mam nicham. What's the last line? Something richati. Anyway, this Mahatma, what does he do? He's constantly chanting and hearing about Krishna and endeavoring with great determination. Endeavoring on the path with great determination. Always chanting, always hearing about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by that process, then Krishna gradually reveal himself at his own pleasure. It's not that there's a timetable. We have to we chant so many numbers of rounds, we eat so many plates of prasadam, we have so many days of darshan, we get up so many days of mangaratik, and then we add it up and say, okay, now I've done enough. No. It's all by the causeless mercy of Krishna. Therefore, Sri Bhakti Siddhanta says, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. They act in such a way that Krishna thinks, oh, this devotee is doing so nicely. Let me go and see how he's doing. Let me go and see him. It's just like when Krishna was here, he went to visit his different devotees. He went to the house of different devotees and to visit them and give them their blessings. So Krishna can also do that. So it is not by our material eyes that we can see, as people like to claim. They come and they say, if there is God, show me God. I see and I believe. The Prabhupada said, what have you seen? Your mother's womb. What else have you seen? What have we seen? There's so much we have not seen. And then yet people make claim that if I've not seen, I don't believe. If we see, we come and see in front of the deities, we say, this is Krishna, what do they think? Ah, this cannot be. You're just idol worship. How can you claim this is, God is supposed to be spiritual, this is not spiritual, this is material, make of matter. So how can they see? By this material endeavor. So we can only see Krishna only by His mercy. So in every day we come before deities, we have darshan of them, with devotion, we offer prayers to them, we do service, we chant the holy name. Then one day, we come for darshan, there we see. Wow, yeah! Krishna is there, smiling, dancing on the altar. It happen. Isn't there some days that we see Krishna like smiling a bit more than other days? Sometimes you get this a little bit of revelation. Krishna just reveal a little bit and see. And then we suddenly like, oh. So that's the mercy that we hankering for. That's why you pray, Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Padagami, Bhava to me. Please reveal yourself to me. I know you're there, but please reveal yourself. Otherwise, how can I see? So when Krishna reveals himself, then we can see. But even then, even if Krishna reveals himself, unless one has this devotion in his heart, he will not be able to appreciate. Krishna revealed himself. He was there at the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But how many appreciated that here is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Some were even considering as an enemy and trying to fight with him. In order to avert the impending war, Krishna made a final attempt to go to see Duryodhana. To try to get them to come to some compromise. And Krishna even revealed his universal form to Duryodhana. But Duryodhana was not impressed. Then this Krishna is very tricky. He says, I'm not impressed by all this magic show. David Copperfield, famous magician. He was not impressed. And when Krishna came to the Kamsa's arena in Mathura, different person was seeing him differently. The villagers, the inhabitants, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj were saying, oh, my child. The gopis were thinking, oh, this is like Cupid, most beautiful Cupid, or young girls were thinking it's a Cupid. The Yadavas were thinking this is a super soul, manifestation of super soul. And Kamsa and the wrestlers seeing Krishna as death personified. They were all seeing differently. So even if Krishna appear, it doesn't mean someone will just appreciate. Unless they have the devotion in the heart. Krishna appears in so many different incarnations. But the demons they see, they see him as an enemy. They do not appreciate. When he appeared, what are we going to say? What are we going to ask? You don't want to make the same mistake as this. This lady carrying this basket of wood. When she dropped it, oh my God, help me! And God appeared. Said, what can I do for you? She was confused. She didn't know what to do. She said, can you put this? Help me put this wood back on my shoulder. That was her consciousness, carrying this wood, all my wood drops. So what is our consciousness? What are we going to ask? It's just like Dhruva Maharaj, when Vishnu appeared, he was meditating on super soul within the heart and suddenly disappeared. And when he opened his eyes, The object of his meditation was standing in front of him. And he was stunned. Didn't know what to ask. Didn't know what to say. Just speechless. Now Vishnu touched him with his conch shell. Then he was enlightened with transcendent knowledge and started offering wonderful prayers. So are we prepared? Or sometimes you may think, oh, we know, so nice. Arjuna was so fortunate that Krishna was right there next to him. But are we prepared? If Krishna would appear before us, what are we going to do? What are we going to say? And what are we going to ask? And what kind of prayers do we offer? Are we able to offer wonderful prayers in glorification of him, or are we going to offer the gimme prayer? Gimme, 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 gimme. So, but we should have faith in Bhagavad Gita, have faith in the instruction given in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's just by the process, there's no other process. And by the process of devotional service, then one will actually be able to understand Krishna more and more. And he will reveal himself. Whether he reveal himself in front of us, or he reveal himself within our heart, doesn't matter. That's the only way one can break free from the clutches of the material existence. Oh, thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? No, in the beginning, it's not voidish. There was the stem, lotus stem, emanating from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. It was, what happened is that when Lord Brahma performed austerity and Krishna appeared before him, then the elements were all there, but in his unmanifested form. So Lord Brahma was empowered to create with the ingredients that was there to create. Yes, Lord Brahma is in every universe. Different universes, different sizes. Some universes are bigger, so it needs more height. Each time, didn't specifically mention, is it? Yep. And not all Lord Brahmas are pure devotees. Our Lord Brahma is a pure devotee, is a head of the Sampradaya. Actually, is the most pious being. They become Lord Brahma. But not all Brahmas in all the universes are pure devotees. But our Lord Brahma, in this universe, is a pure devotee. He's the head of our Sampradaya. Why? Why are they not?
How they have to create if they're not pure
devotees? They're just very pious. I mean, when we talk about not pure devotees, they are extremely pious. But you see, like the demigods, they are different, two kinds of devotees. What do you call it? Sagun devotee and the other one, Nirgun devotee. So the demigods, I mean, they are devotees. It's not that they are not devotees. But when we talk about pure devotees, like the demigods, they are devotees, but they also have some material desires to fulfill. And that desire may be very, very tiny. When we say we are not pure devotees, then we should not relate ourselves with that. Even then, it's still a very, very advanced soul. Otherwise, how can you take up that position? But the interesting thing is that in the beginning, there's tapasya. The tapasya empowered him to with the mission to create, with the ability to create, to perform his service. So ability to perform our service for Krishna also comes from our tapasya. And the other interesting is in the beginning the sound, tapa, right? Perform austerity. And what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Of all austerity, all tapasya, and the chanting of japa. Which is also a sound. So that's the austerity, chanting of japa. And by that austerity, one become empowered to carry out the mission of Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
I want to ask a question, something entirely different, something that happens all the time when I'm out of clarity. I was trained up that when a speaker reads the verse in a particular meter, we're supposed to follow in the same meter, in the same, and that is. Was considered impolite and disrespectful to change.
It's etiquette.
It's etiquette, yeah. And it happens all the time when the person
knows. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so what should we be doing? I mean, it can be taken to very extreme lengths. There is influence in so many temples. We were taught that if the temple president or the head of the temple dances a particular way, standing in a particular way, we needed to follow that melody. And I've seen some sannyasis come here and they sing a particular melody and they change it.
Well, these are some of the things that we have to learn. Etiquette, proper etiquette, proper behavior. We should actually be doing more of that. Yeah, we do a lot of Shastric education, but we should be also doing simultaneously also proper behavior. Devotees, which is just as important. But sometimes we find also they may have some difficulty following. They're used to singing in a certain way. I know it sometimes when I sing certain bhajans in a new place. They know the bhajan, but they're used to singing in a certain tune. And when I chant in a different tune, then everyone just kind of spaced out. They just couldn't follow it. So sometimes they're just used to chanting the sloka in a certain way, and then someone come in. But still, one should understand, if you're not able to follow, then maybe let someone else do it. It's not polite, like you say. They just change. And then everyone starts chanting their own tune, and become very confusing for everyone. It's just etiquette. And this series of slokas are pretty challenging to chant, quite long. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.